Well, excellent. Before we get started on continuing our study in John, there's something we just haven't done in a while. And I kind of miss it. So I kind of think we should kick off the service with what, Miss Shanda? With a game. What do you guys think? Yeah. What do you think? A game. And what do you think the prizes are going to be? Candy, exactly. I call this the famous 4Runners game. Not a Toyota 4Runner. You do not get a Toyota 4Runner at the end of the night. So, but instead, we'll explain more about it. And we're not going to talk about which came first, the chicken or the egg, because only God knows the answer to that question, right? But we're going to go through, and I'm going to ask you a question, and it's going to be a famous 4Runner. All right, so you guys think you can handle this? I'll try to do my best to spot whose hands are up first. But let's go to question one, Ms. Shanda. The telephone was preceded by this device, which performed the function of instantly sending a message down a wire. Mr. Greg. No, was it Mr. Joe or Mr. Greg? Mr. Joe? It was Mr. Joe.
The telegraph?
Ms. Shanda, is it at the telegraph? Oh, look at that. Look at that. Gavin, you want to be my prize giver? You want to help give prizes to people? You don't have to be up front. You can just be the delivery of prizes. So, and I know how many are in that bag. Right, the telegraph. In fact, many people thought the telephone was actually unnecessary because the telegraph did everything instantly, sending that message to the anxious person at the other end. But I guess we're glad now that it's the telephone instead of the telegraph, right? All right, are you guys ready? All right, question two, Ms. Shanda. This comedian preceded Jay Leno as the host of the Tonight's Show. These are hard. Mr. Greg.
Johnny Carson.
Is it Johnny Carson? It's Johnny Carson. Oh, my goodness. Wow. The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson aired 30 years from 1962, before we were all born, into 92. He hosted it longer than any other comedian. So pretty good. You guys are doing all right, but I have a feeling some of Mr. Roberts' questions are really hard. This next one might be more suited for those who have recently been to school. All right, question three. This letter in the Roman numerical system comes before the letter C, which means 100. It represents the next smaller increment of 50. So what is 50 in the Roman numeral system? Miss Sarah. It is not X. Good try. Mr. Bug was second.
L
is in Larry. Is that right? I think it is. Yep. Those are the Roman numeral numbers. I don't know. Have no idea. But there they are. Very good. Well done, Mr. Bug. Good job. All right. This one should be better. Question four. This express mail service in the United States preceded today's postal service through the use of relays of horse-mounted riders. Oh, it was Mr. Steve, for sure. I saw it. The Pony Express, is that right? Yeah. Woo. On October 26th, 1861, San Francisco was directly connected with New York City in this first transcontinental telegraph. The telegraph, we talked about it, made it obsolete. So the Pony Express was closed, but actually they didn't arrive till the month later, the letters that were going, so... That's that. We doing okay, Ms. Shanda? We got one more question. Last chance to win the prize. All right, question five. This entertainer and original creator of New Year's Rockin' Eve preceded Ryan Seacrest as its host.
I got it. Dick Moore.
Well, hold on. We got to wait to see whose name was up. Who's up, Mr. Derek? It was? Justin got everybody? And it is Dick Clark. It is. Very good. Give him a prize. Excellent. Congratulations to all our winners. Excellent. Gavin, you want to give that back to me? Because I got two special prizes to award. Cool. Good job, everybody. Woohoo. All right. Excellent. Good job to our winners. Well, you know, according to the dictionary, a forerunner is a person or thing that precedes the coming or the development of someone or something else. So it's kind of the predecessor, the precursor, kind of the announcer, the thing that comes before. Well, in tonight's Bible passage, we're going to encounter the forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist. We heard some things about him last week from John chapter 1. We read verses 6 through 8. Let's read them again. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him he was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. So what you're already seeing, what you're already writing down is the two pieces of information we learned about John the Baptist last week. We learned that he was sent from God. God told him to do what he did, to announce and be the forerunner of Jesus. He said, I came as a witness to the light so that all might believe who is the light. So he's a witness to the light. And he said, I'm not the light. I'm only a witness. Now, in addition to that, in verses 14 and 15 of chapter 1, we see John the Baptist proclaim Jesus to be the pre-existent Word of God who became flesh, the one and only Son sent by the Father. You might remember that. If you missed last week, you can watch that message online. But in the opening verses of this gospel, we not only learn a little bit about who John the Baptist was, he also shares his testimony for Jesus as a witness. He's the first witness in John's gospel. And the first testimony he gives is, he tells us Jesus is the light. In verses 7 and 8, John the Baptist states he came to witness, to testify concerning the light, so that all through him would believe. He said he himself is not the light. He came to be a witness for the light. Now, light is actually one of the more complex symbols in the Bible. It might refer to something like daylight and darkness and the contrast between them. It might refer to things like the sun and the moon and the stars and celestial objects. It might refer to some other source of light, like a candle or a lamp. Light's also linked with things like instruction and truth, good, peace, salvation, justice, righteousness. Lots of things are linked to light as a symbol in Scripture. The identification of light is also associated with the divine presence of God's glory. Well, the person of Jesus, John the Baptist proclaims in verse 9, the true light, he says, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Jesus came to us, and because he came, he made the Father known to us. Through that act, we can observe the Father's glory, we're told, Scripture tells us. And God's glory in Jesus. We can see that. The light of God's glory came to us in Jesus. It returned to live among us. And this glory, we're told in verse 16 and 17, well, Jesus embodied God's fullness in both grace and truth. As the light, Jesus embodied grace and truth. That's not in your outline, but you could certainly add that if you would like. Now, later in the book of John, we read Jesus proclaims, I am the light of the world. It's one of seven I am statements that Jesus makes and the Gospel of John records, which no doubt we will cover and discuss somewhere down the line in this study. Very important statements that he's made. But he's telling us, telling his fathers that you're going to have the light of life among you as long as I am with you. The light of life that brings salvation, and the light of life that will accomplish God's work. That's what he says when he says, I am the light. There's a second testimonial that John the Baptist gives us for Jesus that's recorded in these verses, in the opening verses we read last week, and that is Jesus is both preeminent and pre-existing. Preeminent means simply to surpass all others. This is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he's before me. That's what John the Baptist says. He steps aside and he directs others and said, look at Jesus, don't look at me. Although Jesus would come after him in birth, Jesus would come after him in public appearance, John says, he who comes after me in preaching, after me in making disciples, well, he's exceedingly better on all accounts. John was a great man and he had a great name, but he yielded to Jesus because John said, he surpasses all others. He has surpassed me. And he was before me, John says. Matthew Henry has this to say about this part of John's testimonial. Matthew Henry is a gentleman who had what we call a commentary. So he studied the Bible, preached many years, and in his commentary he said this. He said, for he was before me, that's protos in Greek, he was my first, or first to me. He was my first cause, my original. The first is one of God's names, seen in Isaiah 44:6. He is before me is my first in respect to seniority. He was before me, for he was before Abraham. John 8:58 says, nay, he was before all things. Colossians 1:17 says, I am but of yesterday, from eternity. It was but in those days that John the Baptist came, but the goings forth of our Lord Jesus were of old, from everlasting. This proves the two natures of Christ, Matthew Henry says. Christ as a man came after John, as to his public appearance of birth, and Christ as God was before him. And how could he otherwise be before him but by an eternal existence? In respect of supremacy, for he was my prince. So some princes are called the first proton. It is for he whose sake and service I am sent. He is my master. I am his minister and messenger. John the Baptist bears witness to what we learned about Jesus last week. Jesus is both fully God and he's fully human. Now, hopefully you already have your Bibles open to John chapter 1 because I want to read some more verses, the next section, so that we can learn a little bit more about John the Baptist and a little bit more about Jesus. So let's turn to John 1, verse 19. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you a prophet? And he answered, no. So they said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. Who do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, then why are you baptizing if you're neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. So let's stop right here and unpack these first few verses before we do any more reading. Well, John the Baptist, he preached a message of repentance. He was preparing people for the arrival of the Messiah. We see here the religious leaders interrogated him about what he was teaching. These leaders were sent by the Jews in Jerusalem. Those Jews were what was called the Sanhedrin. They were the council of religious leaders who kind of oversaw the things and the matters of religion in the area. And they were sent to inquire about John and his baptism, what he was doing. And they asked him a couple of questions. They said, who are you? And after getting an answer they didn't really like, that didn't fit their expectation, they tried suppressing John's activity. They tried to challenge him. They said, well, then why are you baptizing? Well, concerning the first question, John was asked, who are you? He answered them by telling them who he wasn't, for starters. He said, I'm not the Messiah. The Messiah was predicted by the Old Testament. God's anointed king was to be coming, the son of David. John made sure they knew that. Well, that's not me. He also told them, I'm not Elijah. You might remember that scripture records Elijah never died. And he was expected by the Jews to return. He said, I'm not that. And he said, nor am I another prophet, he told them. It had been hundreds of years since the last prophet. The Jews were expecting one of those as well, which is why they inquired. He said, I'm not any of these things. Then John goes on to tell them, let me tell you who I am. All four Gospels identify John the Baptist as the figure predicted in Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5. Isaiah points to John the Baptist when he proclaims Christ's coming. It says this in Isaiah, and it's on the screen. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You know, when princes marched through the desert countries back in these days, ways were prepared for them. Hindrances were removed. People went ahead to make sure that that caravan for the prince made it through those countries safely. They cleared a path. They would go before him, removing any obstacles. They would prepare for things, including the arrival of the king, of that prince, excuse me. So let's make sure we write that down if you haven't already. All four Gospels tell us that John the Baptist is Christ's forerunner. I'm not any of these, John told them. I'm merely the Lord's forerunner, preparing the way. John would later reiterate this truth in chapter 3, 28 and 29. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. John understood his role. He understood that when it comes time to make room for the one whose way John was called to prepare, he said, he, referring to Jesus, the Lord, he must become greater. I, John referring to himself, must become less. Other translations of John 3:30 phrase it this way. He must increase, but I must decrease. As we've already seen, God appointed him to bear witness to others about who Jesus was. And John the Baptist was Isaiah's voice in the wilderness, the one God sent to prepare the way for Jesus. So let's read the remainder of our passage and see what else we can learn about John and his testimony. Verse 29 of John 1. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Here again in the next day, on the next day, John again gives his testimony for the preeminence, the eternal nature of Jesus, once again before whoever is there. And he also tells them these two things. He said, Jesus, that's the Lamb of God. Jesus, that's the Son of God. Those are significant terms in those days because the lamb, you might remember, was very symbolic for sacrifice and atonement. Jesus would atone for their sins. This is God's lamb who came to take away the sins of the world. John testified he knew that Jesus was the Messiah because God's Spirit descended on him. He said, I didn't know him, but the one who sent me, he said, when you see that Spirit descend on him, that's your guy. That's the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. As the first witness to Jesus in John's gospel, the Baptist resists any labels of greatness for himself. When the others inquire about his identity, he denies being of any significance at all. I'm just the voice in the wilderness, he said. Make straight for the way for the Lord. John the Baptist doesn't perform a single miracle. He doesn't do a sign, as John's gospel refers to them. He's just a man, a voice, who declares who Christ is, an important voice. The author of the fourth gospel affirms with confidence that what was said was true. He says this in chapter 10:41. And many came to him and they said, John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true. John the Baptist was Jesus's forerunner. He was sent by God to announce the arrival of the Son of God and prepare others to see the true light, to receive the light of salvation. John testified that Jesus, he is the light, the preeminent, pre-existing Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. The one and only Son of God descended down from heaven, taken on human flesh to accomplish God's work. So how should we respond? How should you and I respond after studying this first witness presented by John's gospel for Jesus Christ? Well, first, in a recent study, we learned the Bible teaches us that you and I were made to be witnesses. Like John the Baptist, we have a testimony to share with others about who Jesus is and what he's done for us. If you want to learn more about your role as a witness and you don't remember that or you weren't here, go to our website, go into the resources section, go into the sermon media and look for October 29th. Because that night is when we talked about our calling to be a witness. So you can listen to that in audio or video. But one of the things is we are called to be witnesses. But tonight, what I really want to do is I want to challenge you with a question. I want to ask you a question. And the question is this on the board. How are you preparing the way for Jesus to do God's work? How are you preparing the way for Jesus to do God's work? While we certainly are not Jesus's forerunner, we're not even his millionth forerunner. Like John the Baptist, we have a responsibility in a way to be forerunners for Christ. What do I mean by that? Well, the Bible says we're to prepare the fields for harvest. We're to do our part in making a way. We're to do our part in clearing a path of debris, getting out of the way so God can perform his work through his Spirit. So think back to our earlier definition of a forerunner. A forerunner is a person or thing that precedes the coming or development of someone or something else. Well, as a forerunner of Christ, what things are you doing that precede the coming spiritual development of someone? First and foremost, how are you preparing the way for Jesus to do God's work in your own life? What preparations are you making? What obstacles are you removing so that Jesus can work in you? So that Jesus can bring about change in your life? For example, how's your heart? Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. A person with a heart set on worldly things, worldly activities, worldly priorities, worldly riches, well, they're going to keep pursuing that earthly stuff. While a person who values Christ will stay focused and store treasures up in heaven. Is there something troubling you in life? Maybe something you just can't shake? Or perhaps you're struggling, and maybe a good thing to do is look at your heart. Maybe there's a heart thing that you got to deal with. Will you put Jesus above all else? Or will you continue to put temporary things of the world first? Those are the things that have put distance between us and God. But if we can remove those, we prepare the way by putting Jesus first above all else. Proverbs 4:21 also says, we're to guard our hearts. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. To hide your attitude about going to church, about praying, about reading your Bible, or going to small groups. Because we prepare the way for Jesus to work in us when we make ourselves available to him. When we talk to him, when we open the Bible, God speaks to us. We prepare the way when we come to church and gather with other believers. You guys are doing that. You're preparing the way by being here so that we can learn and we can grow and we can encourage one another. We make room for Jesus when we spend time with him and we gather in fellowship. How about these obstacles? Have any of these wiggled your way into your heart? Anger, bitterness, pride, stubbornness, or arrogance. Preparing the way for Jesus to work in us means we got to remain teachable. We got to let God's word challenge us. We have to accept when we're doing something that's wrong. We have to accept and identify that that's what needs to change. And I got to accept responsibility to do my part. God will do his part, but you and I have to do ours. If someone approaches you and tells you something, a situation, a circumstance, and they suggest, hey, there's something here that you might want to consider changing. Do you defend your way? Do you defend your behavior, or do you listen and consider what they've said? If someone gives you feedback, regardless of what that feedback is, regardless of how poorly or how well it was delivered, if there's 1% truth in that, well, you got to deal with the 1%, right? You have to do that, regardless of how poorly they've said it. Honestly, people say, and I believe it, feedback is a gift. But sometimes we don't want to unwrap that package. If we don't do that, if we don't unwrap that package, if we're not teachable, then we can't grow. We can't become more like Christ. God doesn't want to use you and I if we're set in our ways. Well, you know, this is who I am. You give it or take it or leave it. God wants to use people who are willing to do things his way. Now, it could be a behavior. It could be a relationship. It could be a thought. Maybe it's an addiction or a routine, something that needs to change. But whatever it is, how are you preparing the way that opens the door for God to change you? And secondly, how are you preparing the way for Jesus to minister to others? Every week, a team of servant-minded individuals arrive early to prepare two facilities. Teachers eager to teach our children show up next door and prepare that facility. People show up here and stock the cafe corner so that you and I can enjoy a drink and a snack. People check the sound system. The laptop is prepared. The camera is set up. The worship team arrives early, and they practice the songs for the evening. Someone in the prayer team prays over each and every ministry that God would protect that area, that God would use that area, that the technology would go well, the heat would be good. They pray over this building every week. People are serving. Outlines are posted on the website in advance. Lessons are prepared. These forerunners are doing everything they can to prepare the way. And then they focus on getting out of the way so that God's Spirit can move through whatever is said, through whatever is seen, through whatever is done, so that people don't see those who are preparing the way. People see Jesus. People prepare the way also by inviting others to church. I spoke this week to Miss Susan, who's not with us. Hopefully she's going to be back very soon. She was just in the brightest of moods. What a blessing it was to talk to her. She's doing wonderful. Maybe even next week she'll be with us. But she's in physical rehabilitation. And you know what she's been doing? She's been inviting people to church. I love it. She's been preparing the way for Jesus to connect with people before they even walk through the door here on Saturday nights. And even if they don't walk through this door on Saturday night, that really doesn't matter. She planted a seed for God to work in this woman's life, in her mother's life, the Holy Spirit to draw them closer back to Him. Oh, I love that. We all have a role to play. God wants to use each of us to do our part. We all have a spiritual gift. And we're meant to be using it to serve God and serve others. There's a lot of opportunity at Westbridge to do that. If you're interested, come talk to me. I'd love to talk to you about how you can get connected with someone else or some of the ministries. And there won't be any pressure. You can try it, see what it is. You can investigate. But if you're serious about getting plugged in and preparing the way, then come talk to me. And lastly, don't think that it's just about church when you ask yourself, how am I preparing the way for Jesus to minister to others? There's opportunities each and every day to be the arms and legs of Jesus, to be the salt and light. It can be as simple as holding the door open for someone or buying a veteran breakfast and thanking him for his service, which happened last week when I was together with some friends. We can show others how much God loves them when we love them. Not because of what they've done or what they could do, but because God loves us and they are special to Him. Be praying, be watching, be prepared so that when opportunities present themselves, you can respond in a way that points others to Jesus. So as the worship team steps forward and leads us in one final song to close, talk to God. The testimony of John the Baptist is just one of many voices in Scripture that we're going to look at during this series that John puts forth that give a testimony about who Jesus is so that people will believe and be saved. Real people who lived real lives, who were impacted and changed because they met Jesus and their lives were transformed for the better after hearing the gospel and deciding to follow Him. If you can, would you stand, please? Jesus said in John 14, 1 through 3, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be where I am." You and I also, we have a forerunner. Someone's been paving the way for us. Someone's gone before us. He ascended back into heaven, and He's there preparing an eternal home for those who place their faith in Christ, for those who have said, "Jesus, I want you and nothing else. I want you to be the one who saves me. I want to place my faith in you." Just like the lyrics we just sang says, "I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, Jesus is the King who will reign forever. He's a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side." So this week, as you head home, take time. Prepare the way. Prepare the way for Jesus to work in you. And prepare the way for Jesus to work and minister in others. And then watch what He does. Watch what He changes in you. Watch what He changes in other people. Because we serve a God that works and He changes. We just got to let Him. Would you pray? Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you so much for meeting with us tonight. Thank you for being in our midst. Thank you for protecting Westbridge Community Church. Thank you for all that you have done, all that you have provided. Father, we lift this service up to you. We hope that it puts a smile on your face. We love you, Lord. Protect us throughout the weekdays. Draw us close to you so that we could be back together next week in fellowship, in worship, in the study of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a great week. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy time with your family. See you on Saturday night, 7 o'clock.